of Cthulhu presents Terror from the Skies by Colin Hart, the Graf Zeppelin. So, it is Thursday, the 15th of August. This morning, you left Friedrichshafen for the second leg of the circumnavigatory voyage of the Graf Zeppelin. At some point through the day, you convinced your pet telegraph operator to send a fake telegram to Wilkins. I believe that was somewhat towards the evening. Right around the time you were crossing Eastern Prussia and into Russian territory. And that is where we are.
Okay.
So, blow up the airship.
I think first protocol is try to find out who it is and try to stop it rather than killing everybody on board the airship.
Yes, realistically, you know that none of you are like psychotic or. so that shouldn't be a real problem. And realistically, you do know that. You know, there is a long way to go.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
It's not until you're like over, Nevada that you have to start worrying about blowing up the airship. So as a last resort. So you do have some time. You have some time. So presumably you've all come back into the lounge for dinner.
Yes.
Which, if you're curious, they have a special dinner for this evening of Ryan Salmon, a saddle of venison, fruit, and cream. As you're looking out the windows, you can see pretty much there's a thick forest, almost as far as the eye can see. A message comes over the intercom saying that there is a telegram for Mr. Wilkins, if he would please come to the telegraph operator. No, they wouldn't do it that way, would they? They'd just bring it to him. Sorry, you see a steward carrying an envelope enter the lounge room. He walks over to Mr. Wilkins and hands it to him. Mr. Wilkins thanks him, takes it from him, opens the envelope, reads it, gets something of a quizzical expression on his face, shakes his head, folds it up, sticks it in his pocket, and continues his dinner.
Okay. So his response doesn't seem to be like he understood it.
Make listen rolls.
Am I there?
I doubt that you would be dining with the pack.
That's what I thought. So I'm not going to make a listen roll.
Yeah.
I hear the engines running. Good.
From the engine room, you can overhear a conversation at one particular table.
It's amazing.
46 success from here.
So Mr. Wilkins is at a table, is sharing a dining table with Mr. Wiegand and Miss Drummond Hay. And you overhear him after he pockets the telegram. Mr. Wiegand asks him, "What's the telegram?" Mr. Wilkins says, "I have no idea. It must be some kind of someone trying to play some kind of prank. I don't understand what this was. It's just a word, Metropolis."
Huh.
Miss Drummond Hay says, "Oh, that was a wonderful movie. I enjoyed that movie." And the conversation kind of drifts off towards the direction of the movie Metropolis and then movies in general, recent movies in general.
Do any of them seem to react any differently?
Psychology?
I'll do this as well.
I failed.
Oh, 87. I have no idea.
I had 93.
So you may interpret that as you wish.
I think those Frenchies are looking suspicious.
I think that journalist who lied and said he worked for the... Okay.
Who was actually present? Was everyone present when this conversation took place?
No, just Mr. Vegan, Mr. Wilkins, and Mr. Amante.
Right, right.
We're at different tables than this.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Okay, we'll cross them off the list. Who's to get the message next?
What's on our schedule? I mean, is it just killing time as we go around the world?
Trying to find out who is actually the carrier.
Yeah.
Which, searching the rooms didn't work.
You go up and just sort of tap everyone with a sort of small hammer and see if they make a funny sound. I don't know.
So as you shake your heads, confused, uncertain, who is, what's going on, evening falls. The night passes. The next day, which is, let's see, Friday, the 16th of August, 1929. In the morning, as you're, hanging out, discussing, what do we do now? How do we figure out who the carrier is? We don't know. You can see a large city coming underneath, and the announcement is made that you are flying over Leningrad. And as you look down, you can kind of see most of the some of the large squares are filled with people, and they're looking up and waving and that sort of thing. Very exciting.
Oh, did Seth end up getting a chance to search in the engine rooms?
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did. And
he found engines.
Yeah.
Oh, engines.
Otherwise, there's another mystery.
Yes, no engines. Oops.
New problem.
Yeah.
That evening, the evening of the 16th, you can see as the sun begins to set behind you, it lights up very nicely the Ural Mountains. They're very rugged and remote, very beautiful, so quite a sight to be seen. Night falls again. The next day, this would be Saturday, the 17th of August. As you wake up and look out the window, you can see that the landscape has changed quite drastically. Every which way that you can look at, possibly look out a window, you can see only marshland. It's flat, it's desolate, it's completely featureless. From directly underneath the Zeppelin to the horizon in every single direction.
Where are we now?
You can make sand rolls, actually.
Oh, dear.
Oh, boy.
Good. Ah, 93. That would be a not success.
91.
15. Sound good.
Fortunately, the engineer is good. Yeah. Professor Cromworth and Mr. Jackson, you do not lose any sand. But you will be at minus 5% to all of your rolls, until you reach Tokyo.
Ooh.
Huh.
What's going on?
Where are we?
Somewhere east of the Urals. The Urals.
But it doesn't look right, does it? Do you?
No, it does.
It does? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it looks disturbing. It looks, it's difficult. The reason for the sand roll and the reason that you're kind of so disoriented is because, well, first of all, you're not really used to flying to begin with, right? This is still, you've only been doing this for what, 17 days now?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the only, it's the first time you've probably ever been up in the air. But over the course of those 17 years, you've always been, or the years, days, yeah, long voyage. You've always been either over the water, which is, that's a water. You're kind of used to, sailing. You understand being over the water. But every other time you've been over land, you've been able to orient yourself, right? Okay, there's mountains there. There's cities there. There's rivers there. There's hills there. There's plains. You can see stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Over this marshland is just this huge, vast marshland that is it's disorientating. You are disoriented.
Well,
I think I'm going to go and lie down.
Well, I'll just look out and try to keep up conversation with people.
All three of you, because Mr. Volker probably would not necessarily know this piece of information either.
Okay.
You can all three make idea rolls.
This is a success.
Not a clue. 90. I failed.
Easy success. 66, which will pass without a problem.
So Professor Cromworth and Mr. Jackson, as you're thinking about it and gazing out on this vast formless plane, Mr. Volker is too busy working his engines to, to be concerned with such trivialities. As you're completely disoriented, you realize that the crew navigating really has no way of navigating.
And no point of reference.
Right.
Well, not during the night they would, but not during the day.
Well, even at night, if it was clouded over, they wouldn't.
Yeah, compasses and...
Right, because all the navigation so far has been, we go to this city, and then we turn to this new heading until we hit this river, and then we turn to this new heading until we see this mountain, but there's nothing. There's just absolutely nothing.
Time of day and position of the sun in the sky, I'm sure.
Oh, ask one of the crew members, well, how do they navigate like this?
Oh, dead reckoning. We have to fly straight until we find a river. And then we try to work out what river that is on the map. And then based on that, we know where we are.
And we have a phone call.
Or the phone rings. On
or they call us. You're going the wrong way.
That afternoon, however, you do see that there is a break in the monotony of the marshland, and there is a river. As the Zeppelin kind of approaches and reaches the river, you can feel it turning, flying along the course of the river.
Okay.
What did I miss?
You found a river. The Zeppelin found a river and is now flying along the river.
Okay.
But not sure which river. No.
You can make a navigate roll if you want.
No.
let's roll. 45, I think that's a fail.
I'm just glad we're not in the dreamlands, I mean.
That's what I was expecting.
Later that afternoon, so late in the afternoon, you can see that the Zeppelin approaches and passes over a small village.
Okay.
Along the river. As you do, the Zeppelin then turns east, apparently knowing the navigator now knows where he is,
mm-hmm.
even if you don't. Spot hidden rolls.
Ooh, at minus 5%, which I only have base.
0-3.
No.
Fail.
Utter fail.
Jeez. Where's my other dice? This is ridiculous.
I need another character, I think.
Yeah. My guy jumps out and then...
As you pass over the small village, you can see there's not, you know, it is a small village. It's not like there's a huge crowd. But the people you can see, there are some people who are, you know, apparently like standing out in fields working or, you know, standing along the riverbank who are just kind of standing there staring up at the Zeppelin. There are some people who seem to be oftentimes associated with smaller people. Who you can tell, you know, look up, see the Zeppelin, and then just start running until they get indoors. You can see some of the horses, you know, bolt. You can see there's one gentleman on a cart. Is being pulled by a horse. The horse bolts and crashes into a house.
These people probably, never have seen anything like this before.
Oh no. Definitely an unusual sight.
What's the mood amongst the rest of the passengers as this is going on? How did they react to the featureless plane as well?
It looks like most of the passengers, not all of them, you know, most of the passengers were as disoriented as you.
Mm.
Some of them, you know, Mr. Wilkins especially, you know, did not seem to be disturbed by it at all.
Right.
You know, he was kind of trying to, you know, comfort some of the other people. Don't worry, we'll be out of this soon. And, you know, this kind of thing happens a lot in exploration. And, you know, the excellent navigators, they'll find our way, that sort of thing.
Mm.
So night falls. That night, the night of Saturday the 17th / very early morning of Sunday the 18th, as you're sleeping in the cabin, you are awoken at some time, bloody horribly early in the morning, 1 o'clock, something like that, and you realize that you are just bitterly freezing cold.
How is the place actually heated? Gas heaters or electric heaters?
There are no heaters.
Ah, that would explain why. Okay. Mm. Do they have any extra blankets?
Yes, if you kind of poke your head out, the night porter will, you know, can bring you an extra blanket. He suggests that you put on any woolen or heavy clothing that you may have hopefully brought with you.
Okay.
So you guys need to look for anybody who's not wearing extra coats or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because isn't, I don't know, isn't there somebody who the thing might be inside them so we know they're not human?
Yeah, or... but I, you know, I think we would have noticed before now if they were, you know, so easily seen through.
Because true, I guess, yeah.
We've been talking with each of the passengers, we've been...
Right.
You know, living with them. I think by now we would have...
Huh.
But, yeah, it's worth a go.
I mean, no, I'm just trying to figure out what's the way to... The days are passing.
And we're not getting any closer. Yeah.
Does anybody seem to be not reacting to the cold?
As you... Well, you wouldn't know overnight.
But in the morning.
Yes, yeah. But as you wake the morning of Sunday, the 18th of August, and you come out for breakfast, you can see that. First of all, do you both? We'll presume that Mr. Volker is appropriately supplied, since he's a crew member. Yes. But do the two of you have heavy woolen clothing? This is an interesting question. Because we did not actually do a full inventory of your 50 pounds of gear, and I believe some of that weight was taken up by attempting to bring parachutes on board. So.
I didn't attempt to bring parachute.
Assume I do, because I didn't have a parachute.
Okay. If you don't have parachutes, then we'll just assume you do, so no problem. You are able to dress warm enough for the cold. As you come out for breakfast, you can see that, yes, all the other passengers are all bundled. There's, you know, thick jackets, there's woolen caps, there's woolen mittens. That's the big breakfast discussion is, oh my god, it's so freezing cold. After breakfast, the steward comes around with a stack of blank postcards and says that they will be crossing over Yakutsk later in the day, around noon, and asks if they will be dropping off a tribute to the German POWs who were interned there, as well as a sack of mail. And they are offering that if you would like to write a postcard that can be posted from Yakutsk, which is, you know, generally known as the most remote town in the world. So, you know, not all the passengers are doing it, but you can see many of the passengers are like, yes, that'd be fascinating. I'll write a postcard to my wife / brother / sister / son / parents / whomever. you may do so as well if you would like to.
Yeah, okay. I'll do that.
Why not?
They do offer that. They do offer postcards to the crew as well, just to give the crew a little.
Yeah. I'm not going to. Yeah.
Okay. So around noon. The Zeppelin passes over Yakutsk. It drops a little lower in altitude, and the crew drops the sack of mail out, which you can see there's some people on the ground who rush to grab it and do the appropriate thing. When they fly over the internment camp, they drop a they kind of empty a bag of flowers over that is a tribute to the German POWs who were interned there and died there. Off in the distance, as you pass over Yakutsk, you can see there is a mountain range approaching, a very high mountain range. As the afternoon draws on, you can see that you're growing closer and closer. And you can tell that the Zeppelin is headed for a pass in the mountains. Make an idea roll.
Oh, 0-0-0.
Nice. Oh, I missed mine too.
19 success.
Professor Cromworth, you can, it looks like, as you're looking out the window, you can see, you know, the Zeppelin is very clearly heading for a particular pass in the mountains. But the pass does not look high, does not look low enough for the Zeppelin to get through.
Okay.
So, on a completely failed idea roll,
do I think... It looks fine.
Oh, that's no problem, or... Okay.
No, that's no problem. Yeah. Look, beautiful mountains.
Hmm.
And in fact, as you and Mr. Volker back in the engine room, you can, you know, you can hear the captain and navigation crew are calling for more power to the engines. They're trying to get the Zeppelin up as high as they can. They are struggling a bit because the they thought the pass was much, much lower than it actually is.
Right. Okay.
Those of you in the lounge, I can feel the engines spooling up, growing much louder. And you can, you know, the air gets, starts to get a little thinner and gets colder as the Zeppelin is trying to gain as much altitude as possible. And eventually you make it into the pass. But you can see that the floor of this pass is just, you know, not much more than 100 feet below you.
Wow.
Huh. There are mountain crags on either side, rising above the Zeppelin on either side, you know, just 100-200 feet away. It is a very tight fit. And you can, you know, you can feel and hear, and Mr. Volker, you would, you know, the engines are doing everything they can to keep as much altitude as possible.
Right.
You're still just kind of barely slipping through this.
Hmm.
Would you, all three of you actually can make sand rolls.
Oh, we're all gonna
with die. The minus 5% still.
Yep.
Zero 03, actually handy success.
I had a 51, so I failed by 7.
A 57, I failed by
6. Oh, failed by 6. Sorry.
For a failure, you can just lose 1 point.
Okay.
Let's see. That will be... no, that's not work. That will work. Let's see, who is that? 1, 2, 3, 4. As you're flying through this pass, you know, you can, those of you in the lounge can see that, you know, everyone is really nervous about this. You know, just as you are, you know, there's, oh my God, we're so close to the ground. We're so, those crags, you know, what's going to happen? Mr. Phillips, however, Evan Phillips, the industrialist, you can both make psychology rolls.
Success. Even with the minus 5.
07 success.
He looks like he's really starting to lose it. He's standing, you can see, he's standing off to the side by himself. He's not talking to anyone. He's, you know, kind of wrapped his arms around him. He's shaking and he's looking, you know, he's just looking out the windows with big eyes.
Mm. I'll, step back then from him. Didn't want to be around when he snaps. Maybe I'll go and talk to one of the members of staff and say that Mr. Phillips isn't feeling so well.
Okay, yeah. Some of the, you can see the one of the porters comes over to him and, you know, is trying to talk to him, trying to calm him. At one point, you can see it looks like Mr. Phillips makes a break for the window.
Okay.
tries to jump out the window, screaming about, you know, needing to get out, needing to get back on the ground. You know, they're going to crash. The mountains are too close. The porter, you know, is trying to tackle them. Another porter, runs over and tries to tackle him as well. You know, so kind of trying to grapple him, trying to keep him from, jumping out. He slips the grip of one of the porters, but the second one gets there just in time, and it looks like he impales a grapple roll. You know, he kind of drags him down and is holding him, and, after about half an hour, you know, they kind of get him calmed down, and they take him back to his cabin and bring him some tea, and he lays down and that sort of thing. Why don't you all, and all four of you, now, welcome, Mr. Krieg.
Good morning.
Can make sand, or not sand rolls, make spot hidden rolls.
Spot hidden. No.
12.
Not with the minus 5.
I failed, 94. Yes.
Success.
Okay. Sorry, who else succeeded besides Mr. Volker?
And shit. And I didn't.
That was Mr. Cromworth or Mr. Jackson?
No.
I failed, 94.
Oh, that's not good. Mr. Volker. From your vantage point in the engine room, you can see, as you're going through this pass on the, you know, the crags and the mountains looming up above you, mm-hmm. You can see that there are a number, they're not, you know, all together, but you can see there are a number of very large birds up here.
Huh. And I don't know what they are, or?
No, they just, you know, just really large birds. I mean, like, really large. Like, larger, so large you would never believe that birds could actually be that big.
Huh. I'm going to go tell the captain. And if I'm going through that way to tell the captain, will I be able to run into the rest of the party and let them know?
Certainly.
Okay, so I'm going to make my way from the engine room because I'm pretty sure that we're doing fine now on altitude and whatnot. We're...
Well, you're
slowly
doing
creeping.
As good as possible, yes.
Yeah. So I'm going to run and tell the captain, but on the way I'm going to meet the other party. Gentlemen, have you seen the birds?
No, what birds?
As he says that, he points them out, Mr. Cromworth and Mr. Krieg, Mr. Jackson is like, oh, look, large birds. Fascinating. Mr. Cromworth and Mr. Krieg, however, recognize them as something more.
Oh. Mm. That's not good. Are those the dragons?
Yes.
Oh. How many are there?
Dozens of them.
Wait, did you say they're dragons?
No, I just look at them and I look at that. We're in trouble.
Just as Mr. Krieg says that, you can see two of them kind of get up. You know, kind of, you can see that, you know, they're kind of stretch out their wings and they dive towards the Zeppelin.
Oh, that's great. They're going to destroy the Zeppelin for us. So we won't
have to. They both come crashing in through the windows. Mr. Volker and Mr. Jackson can both make a sand roll.
That's not going to be
81 is a failure.
69 is a failure.
76 is a failure.
You've already seen them, Professor Cromwell.
Ah, true. Sorry, yes, yeah.
So for the failed sanity roll, that'll be a D6.
Oh, let me get my desire.
Two. Phew.
Ah! What's going on?
I scream out as I fall over backwards.
Hold on here real quick. A D6, you said?
Yep.
Okay.
Have they actually smashed through into the
cabin? So I have three sandy.
They will as soon as we finish the. They will be as soon as the sand rolling is finished. Mm. Yes.
Okay.
Let's see. Hey. Yes, they. So the two Shantaks smash through the windows.
Okay. So I've lost a total of four sanity.
Okay. So. No problem.
Oh, sorry, what was the sand roll? Sorry, I missed that.
Not for you, because you've already.
Oh, we haven't got the brain
yep. Right. Yep. There is much screaming and you know rushing about inside the lounge. the Shantaks, what they do is they basically bust through the window, and you know their large jaws snap at someone. Each you know trying to snap at one of them tries to snap at Professor Cromworth, one at Mr. Krieg. They both miss, kind of slide back out the window. But we'll, you know, you can see that on the next combat round, they will be coming in again to do the same.
How big are each of them?
They are, sorry, size-ish in the around 50.
All right. Somebody go get that guy's pickaxe.
So,
no, I will yell for everyone to take cover. Move away from the windows.
Okay, Professor Cromworth. Actually, hang on, Mr. Jackson. What is your dex?
12.
Okay. And Mr. Volker, what is your dex?
My dex is 14. So.
Okay, so Mr. Volker, you actually get the first go. You're up, sir.
Volker, sorry. Yep. Let's see, I've got... Now, their head is just in the windows, or are their body in now?
Their head is sliding back out of the window.
Okay.
So they're, you know, they're snapping at their appropriate target and then slipping back out, but they are large enough that you know you could try to punch them or hit them with something or
right. Are there any large implements around? I mean it's in the dining cart.
Yeah.
I mean the dining area. Okay.
Pick up a chair or you could pick up a
yeah, I'm gonna pick up a chair and go try to bash one on the head.
Throw a plate at them.
Yeah. I'm gonna
stab
run
stab them with a butter knife.
Okay. So for my melee combat, I've got a 60, but I know this is, you know, so picking up a chair and swinging at him is what I want to do for the one that's nearest to me, I guess.
Yeah, call it a club.
Okay, we'll do it with the club, so I'm going to roll. Oh, yeah, sorry. That was a D10 and a D6. Need two D10s here, hold on. 38, so I hit, and okay. My 1D3 plus... damage bonus is a D4. So rolled a 6, so that's a 3. And then, hold on. Where's my D4? 1. So I did 4 points to it.
Okay. The chair breaks apart as it hits the creature's head.
Mm-hmm.
And the creature doesn't look like it was bothered at all by your...
Oh, God.
All
right.
Bashing it with a chair.
All right.
Mr. Jackson.
Looking at my character sheet, trying to figure out what a journalist would do. This is his first encounter with the Mythos. I'm gonna run to my cabin.
Okay.
Screaming.
Fair enough. Professor Cromworth.
I'm also running to my cabin because I know what I've got in my cabin.
Okay, Mr. Krieg.
Do I have the powder with me?
I would presume that you have it in your cabin.
Okay. So that's where I'm heading to.
Unless, I mean, what are the chances that you would be carrying it around with you all the time? Probably reasonable, so make a luck roll.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a little dusting of it left.
That's a pass.
Okay, so yeah.
So let me try to, towards the creature.
So yeah, you can have, not all of what you have left, but some of what you have, a couple in your coat pockets, just in case of emergency.
I would expect Rick to do that, yes. Carry at least a couple of them.
Yep.
So I will grab one and throw it at the creature. It's 35.
Okay.
And I got the base. So is it like in close range or?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So let's see. That'll be, we'll say that's that one. Okay. So the powder impacts the creature on the nose. And, the creature, you can hear it kind of squeals a little bit. And you can see that there is a burn mark on the creature's nose as it backs out. back to the top. One of the creatures dives in again at Mr. Krieg. Not the same one that you hit. It snaps at you. Would you like to make a dodge roll?
I certainly will. Let's see. Oh, 91.
It does 6 points of damage.
Oh, wow. I start kind of backing away from the creature.
Okay. Mr. Volker.
Okay. I'm still just going to try to hit one again. I mean, just because I'm thinking what I would do is just to try to attack it again. Whichever one just came back in and hit Mr. Krieg.
Okay.
I'm going to just go over and,
plenty of chairs left.
Yeah. is there any broken wood or anything like a stake or anything?
Yeah, I mean, you just broke a chair over one of them.
So I'm just going to grab and just try to stab at them, preferably the eyeball.
Okay.
So we'll see.
On the nose.
42 out of 60, if I'm doing my fist thing, so yeah. So that's 1d6 plus d4 again. So that is 1 and 5, 5 total.
Okay. Once again, it doesn't look particularly bothered by your feeble attempts.
All right.
you can see the head of the creature is, it's not feathered, it's scaled.
Right.
As you're hitting it, they feel rather solid.
Right. Okay.
Heavy, hard, you might say. Mr. Jackson, are you just cowering in your cabin?
Yes.
Okay. Fair enough.
Sure.
Professor Cromworth.
I'm going for my shotgun.
Okay.
And also grabbing powder.
Okay. You can have that and be back out for the next combat round.
Okay.
Mr. Krieg.
Well, since,
Oh, wait a second. Sorry. The other Shantak gets its go now before Mr. Krieg. It dives in at Professor Cromworth and misses. Sorry. Now, Mr. Krieg.
I will start to, get away from the creatures because I'm hurt pretty bad. But as I run away, I'm going to turn around and throw the last powder at the creature. Before I run to my cabin.
Okay.
And that's a 68. So that's a failure.
Okay. It's kind of sucked out the window. The Zeppelin is still, you know, moving forward as you, you know, trying to get through the pass as this is happening. A number, you know, there are some of the a number of the passengers have, you know, yelled and run away. Panic, run away. Some of the passengers are, you know, working, are, you know, basically doing what Mr. Volker is doing, trying to bash them with, you know, chairs, you know, upending tables, trying to, in fact, Mr. Wilkins, you know, says to a couple of them that they should, you know, upend the tables and try to, you know, use the tables to push the creatures out, block the windows, keep the creatures out, that sort of thing. The first creature will again dive in and actually it won't. As Mr. Krieg kind of backs away from the windows and starts heading towards his cabin, those of you are Mr. Jackson, or not even Mr. Jackson, Mr. Volker, as all the other player characters have left the room, you can see the creatures are just kind of circling. Mr. Jackson, are you still carrying in your cabin?
I see no real reason not to. Maybe I will poke my head around the corner. No, actually, I want to go... I don't have a camera myself, do I? I have 60 in photography, and this would make a really good...
You could go into the room where the person's got a camera.
Yes, I'm going to go to the room of the photographer, Robert Hartman.
Robert Hartman. That room... is empty.
Okay, I'm gonna can I grab one of his cameras?
he was with Mr. Rosendahl. Mr. Rosendahl is in the cabin, however.
I'll say I need to borrow a camera.
He looks too shaken to bother with you.
Perfect. Then I will borrow a camera.
Okay. Professor Cromworth.
Yep. Run back into the room. Okay. What do I see?
You see some chaos. You see a number of the passengers, you know, kind of standing, waiting to see if there's going to be another attack. You see Mr. Wilkins trying to kind of, you know, organize a table-based defense. You see Mr. Volker standing with a broken chair leg. You see Mr. Krieg pushing past you to get back towards the cabins. And you see two Shantaks circling around.
I'll shoot at the Shantak.
Okay.
Okay. So that's a 07 with one shot. Which will be a success. Yeah, easy success.
Okay.
What level damage am I doing? Is it 4d6?
Range? No, let's say 2d6, because they are moving, they're circling outside of the cabin, they're not particularly close.
Okay, 9 points of damage.
Okay, and these are the powderized shotgun shells, right?
Yes, they are, yes. Okay.
So that will be an additional that much. So you said 9?
Yep.
Okay, so that will be a total of that much. Okay. Yeah, you know, it's done some damage. Your gunshot. Everyone kind of looks up like, why is there a shotgun on board?
What? Yeah. I yell, you fool, we're in a blimp.
Don't punch.
We're about to go, don't worry.
Mr. Krieg.
All right, so I'm running towards my cabin to get the powder that I got left and the shotgun, you know, the special shotgun, basically. I have a question, though.
Yeah.
What happened when we sent the message to Wilkins, was it?
That was at breakfast a couple of days ago. The message was brought to Wilkins at breakfast. He was having breakfast with Lady Drummond Hay and Mr. Vigand. And there were some psychology rules made, and he appeared to be confused, thinking it was some kind of joke, and the conversation at their table devolved into a discussion of the movie Metropolis, which then very quickly devolved into just a conversation of movies that everyone had recently seen. The consensus among your other players was that all three of them had no clue what the message was.
Okay.
So you can have your shotgun and your powder for next round. Speaking of the next round, the first Shantrak is Mr. Cromworth, Professor Cromworth reappears and takes his shot. The first Shantrak, not the one that Professor Cromworth shot, but the other one, dives in again and makes an attack that will not succeed. Mr. Volker.
I'm just going to kind of stand there and what to do next, because I have when they saw the pickaxe, right?
I'm sorry?
When they went through the one explorer's room and he had that pickaxe underneath his mattress?
Yes.
So I'm going to run back to that room and grab the pickaxe.
Okay. You may have that for next round.
Okay.
Mr. Jackson.
Of what's happening from a hopefully safe vantage point.
Okay. You may do that. Professor Cromworth.
Sorry, I was on mute. Okay, I'm going to take another shot. Hopefully at the same one.
The same one that you hit the first time, you mean?
Yep.
Okay. Yep, no problem.
05.
Ooh.
And I do another 9 points of damage.
Okay, so that'll be that much. And magic shells. Nine. Okay. It looks like that shot did a lot more. There was a better impact of powder, especially. You can hear it kind of scream and wheel away as it slides back out of the cabin. The second one dives in at you and will miss. Mr. Krieg.
I'm back with my shotgun fully loaded, and I will make a shot.
Okay.
And I'm looking around going, where did they get all these guns?
We went to Jesus.
And that's a pass.
Okay. 2d6 for the damage.
Okay. Oh, 11 points.
Okay. Now, were you shooting the one that Professor Cromworth is shooting, or the one that you hit with the powder to begin with?
No, when I get closer to the, to the same LC Crawford, shooting one of them, and I will shoot the same.
Okay. So you will do that much, plus the magic powder. Oops, wait a second. Oh, yeah, okay. Sorry. I was adding hit points back to it instead of subtracting them off.
We're going to win that round, right?
that Chantek looks like it's quite injured now. And in fact, it will dive in again at Mr. Krieg. And as it does so, it dives a little too far in, and it now appears to have its head stuck in the window.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's it. It's struggling, it's squealing, it's trying to, you know, pull its, it's trying to, you know, get its wings around to pull itself out, but it, it looks like it's well stuck. You know, like it botched a roll or something. Mr. Volker.
So I have the pickaxe now, right?
You do.
I'm going to charge the one with its head stuck in the window.
Okay.
Get a hit on this thing. Nope. That was a big miss there. It was an 86 out of 60. So I missed.
Okay.
Dang it.
Miss. Mr. Jackson. Continuing to take photographs.
Yeah.
Silently.
Work it, work it. Turn to the left, work it.
On the other hand, now that it has, now that one of them has his head stuck, the photographs are you're probably going to get some better photographs.
Get some good ones, some action shots.
Yeah. But,
thank you.
Just in case the firemen find the camera.
Yeah.
Shall I actually roll photography?
Yeah, if you want to.
Okay. I have 60%. Oh, yes, 51. Success.
Yes, you are able to get some shots that you know turn out.
Take that skill.
Reasonably. Professor Cromworth.
Yep. Okay, so one's stuck, and the other one's still flying around. Yep. I have to reload this round.
So how many are there?
Just two.
So the ones that we saw, a lot of them up on the hill, they're just up there hanging out?
Yep.
I reload my shotgun.
Okay. The one that is not stuck, the unhurt one, dives in, and is going to get, Professor Cromworth. No. Sorry, what did I roll? Okay. Mr. Krieg, would you like to make a dodge roll?
Eleven. That's fast.
Okay. you just barely dive out of the way of the large snapping teeth, which will be your action for this round.
So, since I need to reload my shotgun, right, this round... I guess? Or can I get another shot?
Well, you were dodging regardless. So you should have one shot left, right? 'Cause you only
hit. Yes.
So you have one shot left. You don't need to reload yet. But you dodged, so you can't shoot and dodge at the same time.
Okay. So in that case, I will grab the other one of the powder that I just refilled and smash it in the face of the creature that is stuck.
As you're dodging out of the way. Let's call it a dex times three roll to be able to do that.
All right. It's all in slow motion and there's birds flying in the background.
And that's a pass.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. It does. It's as it snaps at you, misses, and backs away, you know, you can see you got it full in the face with the full dose of powder. It's got quite a large burn mark appears on its skin. It kind of squeals in pain. The first one, the one that is well stuck, is still scrambling and squealing, trying to extricate it. The other passengers are, you know, bashing it in the head with whatever they can find. That doesn't really appear to be doing much good. Mr. Volker.
I have a scene from Shaun of the Dead in my head where they're just hitting with the and it's the Queen song going. So
yep,
yeah. Exactly. So I'm gonna try hitting it again with the ice pick.
Okay.
The pickaxe. Ooh, 21, and so that's a hit. So
okay.
That hits. So D6 and D4. 3 plus 2, 5.
Okay. Yeah, you know, you know you got it a good solid blow,
mm-hmm.
but it just kind of goes thunk on the
stairs. Okay. Okay, that's, yeah. I yell at it in German.
it was a good straight solid hit, but you know, not
nothing's doing anything
quite it, as yeah. you think having hit it a couple times that if you were to get a really good blow and mm-hmm. like just cause as much damage as you possibly could, you might be able to just penetrate those scales.
Jeez. Okay.
Mr. Jackson. Still snapping away.
Yeah. They okay. seem to have it under control. I just need to document this for future generations.
Fair enough. Professor Cromworth.
Okay, I'm going to take a shot at the one that's free.
Okay.
Okay, so that's... what range am I at?
It's still going to be the 2d6 damage.
Okay. So that's a success, I think. Yeah, 59. Success just. Okay. 7 points of damage.
Okay. Yeah, that shot doesn't look like it hurt it that much.
Okay.
That one that is...
Don't forget it's got powder.
Yep. Yeah, I got that. So it did a little bit, but you know, not as much as some of your other shots have done.
Okay.
That one wheels around and dives back in at you, Professor Cromworth. And it will bite you for 11 points of damage.
Oh man.
I am on unconscious. I'm on 2.
And the rest of you see Professor Cromworth his arm is almost bitten off and he falls to the ground. His shotgun rolls, you know, drops out of his hand. And lands right at the feet of Mr. Jackson.
Yes. Click. Pictures.
Mr. Krieg.
Chuck him.
Which one? The stuck one or the free one?
No, the free one, which is being here right now.
Okay.
The one that just, you know, almost ate Crawford.
Yep.
And that's the pass.
Okay. Since you're shooting at it, you know, just after it bit Mr. Cromworth, I'm going to let you do 4d6 of damage to it.
Excellent. Let me check. Oh no. This is 5, 11, 4, 15 points.
Okay, so that'll be that much. And magic shotgun shells. Okay. That one looks like it's quite injured as well. In fact, if you were to stand back and compare them, the two Shantaks, you know, say a cold clinical logic, somewhat like Mr. Jackson is doing, you would actually say they are both about equally wounded at this point.
Mr. Jackson, can pick up my shotgun.
The one that is stuck is able to finally pull itself out. And it kind of, you know, is able to kind of, you know, yank its head back out of the cabin. And starts circling again. Mr. Volker.
He didn't pick up that shotgun, did he?
Nobody has picked up the shotgun.
Okay, he'll pick up the shotgun?
You can. There's one shot left in it.
Yeah, I'm going to pick up the shotgun and then just fire at the one nearest me, I guess. So,
okay.
I just got base shotgun at 30%. My rifle's 80, but shotgun not so much. So, 33, I missed.
Okay.
So that's that.
What's your skill?
My shotgun's just base at 30. I have rifle at 80%. So
you rolled a 33?
Yeah, 33.
Okay. Well, you're doing this basically at the exact same time that the one was stuck. That was stuck was extricating itself.
Ooh.
So we're going to say you are at super close range. So that's a hit.
Yeah.
You may roll 46 of damage.
Open up and say, ah. 2, 3, 4. Are you kidding me? Okay. 9 points total.
Okay.
Oh, 46.
That was terrible. I rolled.
So that'll take that. And magic powder will do that. So you catch it, you know, not quite full in the face, but it does take a good solid close blast. You can see, you know, it's hit in the eye and the side of the head. And there's a number of little burn marks that open up as the, you know, in, it looks like part of its face is starting to melt away. And as it, you know, kind of shudders and pushes itself back out of the window, the body kind of goes limp and falls away.
Huh.
Mr. Jackson. Still taking photographs, I presume.
Moving things around.
Professor Cromworth is well unconscious. The one remaining Shantak will dive back in. And Mr. Krieg, would you like to make another dodge roll?
Sure. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I throw 2 d10. That's 51. That's a failure. That's a failure.
Okay. Mr. Krieg, you have been bitten again for 6 points.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I think I dropped that.
Oh, God.
Like really, really super dead or just a little bit dead?
He's half dead.
On the edge. Like I'm 0.
Okay, so you fall to the ground. Mr. Volker.
So he dropped. Does he still have his shotgun?
He does.
Oh, but I don't know that the shotgun that I'm holding only had one shot, right? So I'm just going to click it again to see if it fires.
Actually, it's, you know that I just did a shot, and it's a double barrel, so.
Yeah.
I do know. Oh, okay,
you would,
gotcha.
You would know that it's empty. You would also know that Mr. Krieg's is empty, too.
Oh, shoot. So who's all standing? Me and the guy taking pictures. Great. Do I see any of the pouches that Mr. Krieg had? Did they – anything around that he was thrown at him? Do I notice any of those laying on the ground or
you can from him? You can see a couple stuffed in his pocket.
I'm going to run over and grab one out of his pocket and throw it at the one then.
Okay. Make a throw roll.
Okay, so. Oh, God, you guys are all dying. No bueno. Okay, so a throw. Oh, gosh, okay. 13, so I succeed.
Ooh, nice. Okay. Ooh, nice. You
That's very good.
Yes, you manage to, you can see that you catch it full in the face with the, with this little bag of powder that explodes mm-hmm. and like the entire dose of powder just blasts it in the face. And it screams and kind of wheels away.
Okay.
Looking quite injured. Mr. Jackson, I believe you were going to go to Mr. Krieg. As you are doing so, uh, Mr. Who? Let's see. Mr. Vegan is also running over towards Mr. Running up to Mr. Krieg and okay. starting to first aid him as well.
Okay.
So you may do a first aid, Mr. Jackson.
First aid. Oh yes, 06.
So okay.
Nice success there. Shall I roll a d3?
You shall.
We can't. Your arm's off.
3.
Okay. So Mr. Krieg is stabilized. You can have 3 hit points back, but you're still unconscious because you were at 0.
Yeah.
I'm only on 2 hit points.
Mr. Cromworth, Mr. Vegan, seeing that Mr. Jackson was tending to Mr. Krieg, has come to assist you, and will first aid you a hit point back.
Woohoo!
Mr. Volker.
I wake up.
So, are the things still flying around, or did they both leave, or where are they at?
Well, one of them is dead. One
right.
Okay. Very clearly dead. It has fallen to the ground. The one that you just hit with the powder looks very, very injured, but it still looks angry and, is like it is circling and is coming back around to attack again.
And you said in Mr. Krieg's pockets there were a couple of them.
Yep.
So I grab the other one and throw it. And 86, very clearly a waste and a miss on that one. So, okay. Jeez. Okay.
Mr. Jackson.
I'm still uncertain as to what to do. where is this thing? Is it outside?
Yes.
Is it making any attempt to come back inside?
It looks like it's about to, yes.
Is there a shotgun near me?
No, actually, I take that back. You know what? It's actually not. No, there is not a shotgun near you.
Okay.
As you're watching it, you can see it. It kind of looks like it might, but it kind of swoops in, like it's looking through the, like it's looking in the windows, and then flies away.
Okay. Well. Wow. That was interesting.
If those of you who are conscious would like to make an idea roll.
Yes.
Looking for somebody.
93, so no.
22, I'm good. Success.
Every time the creature attacked, the creatures attacked, they were very obviously and very specifically going after only Professor Cromworth and Mr. Krieg. Mr. Krieg, was near death and looks like he could be still unconscious and looking dead, and Professor Cromworth, while revived by Mr. Vegan, is still laying on the ground and only just coming out. So you would kind of guess that they were specific, that for whatever reason they were specifically going after Professor Cromworth and Mr. Krieg, and that last kind of flyby by one of them you would think that it was looking, if you were to, assume right. a certain amount of intelligence, that it was looking, saw them both looking dead, decided, I'm done here, and flew away.
Hmm.
What's the position of the blimp right now to the...
It is just exiting the pass.
Okay, the pass, okay. So I just tell them to the two to lay down still, don't move, play dead. We were clearing. It looks like they were looking for you, so lay there until we pass through. So
who's still in the cabin?
An interesting question.
I will lie there. Don't worry.
I'll lie down. I'll stay lying down.
Who is still in the cabin? Well,
and rather, who's been there for the whole time? That's what I want to know.
Who has been there for the whole time? You may make a spot hidden roll.
Oh, yes. 19. Success.
Fail.
Okay.
46.
So, Mr. Volker was there the whole time.
Yep.
You were not. Professor Cromworth was not. Mr. Krieg was not. Mm-hmm. In addition to Mr. Volker, among the other passengers who were there the whole time, there were a couple of the porters, mm-hmm. The steward, Mr. Wiegand, Mr. Hartman, Mr. Maruyama, Mr. Lee, and Mr. Thompson.
Maruyama. Who else, sorry?
Lee and Thompson.
Okay.
All right, wait a second. Do we even have Thompson? No. Sorry, Mr. Thompson does not exist. So forget that. Forget that.
So he was not there. Okay.
he has never been on board. Sorry, he's one of the additional passengers that would be there if there weren't enough players to take up... cabins. My mistake. So, yeah. Wiegand, Hartman, Maruyama, and Lee.
And when the attack started, everyone else who was there basically left.
That is correct.
Okay. Interesting. Interesting. But the only two... They were attacking. Right, okay. I've got some photos to develop.
From a stolen camera.
Well, borrowed. I have every intention of returning it. It's not theft, if you
know. Yes, Mr. Hartman sees you with his camera. Mr. Jackson, that looks like my camera. What are you doing with my camera?
I know. I got some amazing shots. These are going to be incredible. We'll split the royalties, yes?
Well, let me develop the photos and we'll see what's there, and then I will decide.
Well, sounds fair. Okay.
He takes his camera back from you.
I'd like to... go with him and see them being developed. If he doesn't mind. I have a 60% in photography, so I can...
Yeah, you're able to convince him that you can develop the photos with him. That's not a problem. The crew, you know, starts, you know, trying to put the lounge back together, you know, set the tables back up. They block up the broken windows. The remaining the passengers who were cowering in their cabins, you know, start to filter back out. Tea is served. Nerves are soothed. The general tone of conversation seems to be that there's some kind of unknown species of bird. A couple of the passengers suggest that they could be pterosaurs who somehow survived, like in that story by Doyle.
Right. Lost Planet or Lost World, yeah.
Yep. And as the Zeppelin enters or exits the pass, you can see the ocean ahead of you. Mr. Krieg at this point will be conscious again, although rather injured. I did say you got 3 hit points back, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And actually you have 2 injuries, don't you, Mr. Krieg?
I do. Yeah.
So you can be first aided a second time by Mr. Wiegand, which will succeed for another 1 point.
Okay.
And Professor Cromworth, how many injuries did you have?
1.
Okay. So you're done. as you reach the coast, the airship turns south, and you can turn south and slightly west.
Who's with us right now?
I would like to ask the, you know, Sith's character about the, where are we going?
Japan. Next stop is Japan. You expect to be there in the morning.
So while all this, I'm going to get my crew together to start repairing any holes in the windows, you know, broken stuff like that to clean up. Just get that going. And then, gentlemen, we have some talking to do, but first I must check the engines and make sure the ship does not go down. So.
Well, I take my shotgun back and move to head back to.
Good luck with that.
Move to my quarters.
There seems to be some, you know, some eyeing of the questionable shotguns that were brought on board. Given the events, you know, no one is, you know, no, it's like no one is saying anything.
Right.
Every once in a while, someone will catch the eye of, you know, Professor Cromworth or Mr. Krieg and just, you know, kind of just give a little nod. And, you know, very, you know, people are avoiding the topic of shotguns. No one's talking.
Nice. I will talk to the professor as soon as I get a chance to be alone with him.
You can all. Mr. Volker returns from his inspection of the engines. Everything is in order.
Right.
The only damage to the ship was, you know, basically the windows and some of the frames are bent in the lounge area, right. And that's, you know, well being sorted. You know, dinner is kind of a, you know, a simple affair served in the cabins because the lounge is all broken up as the crew works to repair it. But yeah, that evening you can certainly all gather in one of the cabins and discuss what you will.
I wanted to discuss it, just with Crawford and the brothers if they are around at some point. But if not, I will just talk to the professor. Professor, I think it is time for Plan D.
Plan D.
Yes. Wink, wink.
You want to blow up the airship.
What other option do we have? We almost die there, you know. Without us, you know, the brothers will continue with the investigation and there are going to be only two of them. We got some helpful people aboard, but they don't know anything about the Chen. So, it's only you and me, Professor. Make the call.
Not yet.
What do you say? Do we wait until we leave Tokyo and see if we get a chance to find
this guy? Wait until we leave Tokyo. Right until we leave Tokyo.
Once we get there, we blow it. Good thinking. Saving lives. So we need to set up the explosives, unfortunately. The question for the keeper, how long are we gonna be on the ground once we arrive to Tokyo?
Sorry, 4 days.
Okay, so we get time to plan it. All right.
So at that point, Mr. Volker and Mr. Jackson come in the room.
Gentlemen, does anybody mind explaining what just happened?
No, I don't. I don't even know if they came out well. How did the photos come out?
Very good.
Oh, excellent.
Yes, you have some very clear photographs of the Shantax attacking and people rushing about and doing their thing.
Sorry.
From the photos, you're able to identify that you're your thoughts about who was present in the lounge at the time of the or during the attack was correct.
Okay.
So what were those things? And apparently you guys have fought them before, because I was hitting them and nothing was happening, but you were throwing this powder at them that seemed to have an effect.
We have this powder, and I'll hold up a sec, or these special shotgun shells, which have the powder in them. And basically, they are creatures who work for what's called the Shan.
Well, how much do they know? If they haven't been, you know, told the whole story, maybe it is time to share it with them now that they have seen the Shan tanks.
I think they know the whole story. You've gone through
all the notes
and everything with them.
Didn't know about those things, yeah. So
it's probably, you know, certainly they believed you before, but you know, it's definitely been reinforced now just how horrible those things are.
Right.
So I will tell them those things are going to be all around the world if we failed. We failed to find the man that we're looking for.
Okay.
They know about us, and they know who Mr. Krieg and I am. That for much is certain now.
And we can use that, you know, to our advantage point, since they don't know that you are working with us. But more likely, once we hit the ground, someone is going to tell them, since we haven't find the person that we call the carrier.
Okay. And how do we do that?
I will share whatever information we have, you know, and crazy theories we have about the carrier. And, you know, that's what we got. We don't, you know, if we had more probably we'll have found it by now, but,
Can I get an idea roll from Professor Cromworth and Mr. Krieg?
Sure.
Success.
That's a failure.
Okay. Professor Cromworth, Gary, you may have already realized this, but you haven't said it, so I'm just going to make sure that you have realized this. You have in your possession a spell for summoning Shantax. So you know that's possible.
Yep.
You also know that every other time that you have been, you know, attacked by Shantax, it has been, you know, there have been either, you know, cultists or people that you have later identified as being Shand, you know, nearby. So yep. you are fairly certain that, you know, all of those previous Shantax attacks, you know, were caused by someone summoning them.
Yes, which means
not just random attacks. So you are absolutely convinced that that would be the case this time as well. So that means that someone on board had to summon them. And it makes a certain kind of logical sense that either there's more than one person, either there's more than one, you know, Shan agent aboard, or it was the carrier themselves that summoned them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We just don't know which one.
You would further know also that given the nature of the summoning spell, you know, during that attack, someone had to be doing it. So you're fairly certain that whoever was doing the summoning is not someone who could have also been in the lounge.
In the room. So who wasn't in the room?
Me. And in fact, they would have been. They would have had to have been out of the room the entire time.
Who right? was in the room? Who wasn't in the room?
Okay, let's see. I ran into God, my notes are in a state. Rosendahl, and he was not. He couldn't have been involved because he wasn't doing anything funny. We know that, so we're assuming Wiegand, Wilkins, and Drummond Hay are not, because we ruled them out from their reaction to your telegram. Hartman was present, couldn't have been Rosendahl. I'm just going down my list. Marijuana was present, so it couldn't have been him. So that does leave Hirsch. If I'm doing this correctly, he could still potentially be one of them, be a suspect. Wood and Hall were not present and could potentially be one of them. Lee was present, so it couldn't have been him. I'm assuming it's not us. Mason, Baker, Phillips and Gray could be them. So we've sort of narrowed down the list a bit.
Actually, without even needing to make an idea roll, I'm going to you know, based on the same kind of logic, you will recall that Mr. Phillips had something of a breakdown.
Yes,
before
yes,
the
yes.
Shantags yeah. attacked.
Okay.
Now, which certainly looked genuine, so you know, you're welcome to interpret that as you wish. But
okay, so we currently have a list of Gebhard Hirsch, Ben Wood, Robert Hall, Jim Mason, Ryan Baker, and Joshua Gray.
Have we interact with any of them?
Did any of them start off in the lounge and leave?
Did any of them start off in... they all did. Yes.
Ah, so everyone was in the lounge. Okay. So wait a second. Everyone was in the lounge when the creatures attacked.
Make an idea roll at half.
12 of us?
12. Yeah. Success.
Yeah, all of you can.
No, I found half.
He didn't pass.
As you're thinking back to it, no, not every. You're fairly certain that actually not all of them. One or more of them were gone were not in the lounge at the beginning of the attack.
Okay.
But as you were not specifically paying attention at the time, you're not sure who. As you're thinking back to it, they're. The lounge seemed like it was missing some, at least one or two people.
Can we sort of, so I assume we're writing down a list of these five. Is it five? Two, three, four, six. Who have I missed out? Not very good at making lists. One, two, three.
So you're down to, so your suspect list is what? Hirsch, Wood, Hall, Mason, Baker, yes. and Gray.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Six.
Mason, Wood.
Okay. Or seven, depending on if you want to think that Phillips was faking his breakdown.
Yeah, have we interacted with any of them?
I got my psychology on that, so I'm actually
okay.
confident he's not.
You've interacted and chatted with all the passengers at this point.
What do we know about these? Okay, so Hirsch is a journalist. That's actually all I have. Wood is a businessman. Hall is an investor. Mason is an Australian rancher. Baker is a property speculator. Gray is an author. Wood had business cards with an image of the Zeppelin on them. Don't know anything about Hall. The rancher, Jim Mason, had a newspaper. Oh yeah, so this was slightly strange. He had the newspaper mentioning sheep stations, but he claims to have cattle rather than sheep. Baker,
any of them had any, you know, when we were putting the stamp, the Zeppelin stamp, when they were boarding, was any of them coming, were any of them coming from England prior to the U.S.?
I think out of that group, pretty much all of them declined the stamp, so you don't know.
Okay.
And out of that group, well, you know that Mason came from, Mason says he came from Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Gray and Baker are both Americans. Hall and Wood are both Americans.
And Hirsch is German.
And Hirsch is a German, who you know came from Europe.
We can rule her out.
Who?
Yeah, we can rule out the ones that you know got on with us. Oh, it was only the six of us, right?
Yes.
Or five of us. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, I got them later.
yeah. So I'm thinking that we got an Orshang on board. And I'm going to tell you why. Basically, I don't believe the carrier has seen either the professor of myself. But if there's another sham, they could, you know, communicate. We have come to the conclusion they can communicate with some sort of telepathy. So whatever one sham knows, the hype knows. And they have seen our faces before. That's what they were, you know, after us, after both of us, once they knew that we were on board. Now, the problem is that could very well be one of the people that got on the Zeppelin, you know, one of the people flying, or one of the attendants on your crew. And I look at Seth's character.
I've been with my crew for a long time. They've been with me. We've been working on this Zeppelin for years, and they're all trained and handpicked by me, so I don't know if it would be any of my crew.
That's especially, you know, that's one of the good reasons to infiltrate someone in your crew, actually. Someone who was working on the Zeppelin, someone who was trusted, that was going to make it into the Zeppelin.
You won't know if they're being taken over because the Shan hide in the back of the mind. So they could still be acting the same around you.
As this discussion is going on, can I have Professor Cromworth and Mr. Krieg make another idea roll, please?
Success.
Failure.
Okay. As Mr. Krieg is, you know, making his, stating his suspicions about another Shand person being on, another Shand operative being on board besides the controller, it occurs to you, Professor Cromworth, that, you know, throughout the course of this, there has been some other that specifically with Mr. Krieg, but not with you, that there was apparently some way Mr. Krieg had been specifically identified. If you recall that he was able to open, for instance, you know, just by touching them, the pyramids opened for him.
Yeah.
You're marked out, and they can detect this.
Oh, that's true. But who can? Who can detect us? The Chentax, or...
I think the Shan inside the people can detect who's marked. But I wasn't marked. You were, but I wasn't.
Okay, and... Oh. That's weird. Yeah. So here's the thing. Whoever, let's say that, you know, the Chantex were going to attack us. Someone summoned them, right? He needed to stay around to see who the Chantex were going to attack to, if he didn't know our faces or if he didn't have a way to identify us. See what I'm saying?
Yeah. Are you sharing a room together?
We are.
Is that, maybe that's just what it's based on.
True. Jim, was there any specific tools or anything, items needed to summon the Shantek?
No.
Ah, damn. So no magic circles or anything like that?
Nope, it's just, you know, it's all, the ritual is all, you know, chanting and specific movements and that sort of thing.
Now, that takes a while. That's not, you know, something that you can do very quickly.
No, it's not a quick spell. I just thought of something. Professor Cromworth heals himself.
Oh yeah, the old healing spell.
I have forgotten about that. 2d6. I get 7 hit points back.
Wait, does he just do this in the room in front of us?
Yes.
What?
Mr. Jackson and... Mr. Volker can both make sand rolls.
Oh, I'll lose the fail.
63 I fell. What do I lose?
just 1 point for the failure. As you see Professor Cromworth utter some, you know, strange sounds and make a few quick hand movements, and suddenly his the bite marks just kind of heal themselves and he looks a lot stronger and more robust.
So that's 5 I've lost then.
Yeah, no, it's 5 in one go, or 20%.
Yep. Oh, okay, gotcha. Yep. Okay, gotcha. I forgot about that. I was like, wait a minute. So.
Yep. No, you're fine.
Good. It's like otherwise you just made me go crazy. Thank you.
I'll say, Mr. Krieg, I'll be able to do something for you tomorrow.
Sounds good. I understand that you wanted to help yourself first. I don't say that with a lot of happiness in my voice.
I look at the others and go, it was something we picked up along the way. Let's say a spell, you could say, which allows you to heal your wounds.
Or other people. How many magic points does this take?
12.
So it would actually make me fall unconscious if I cast this. Wonderful.
I could heal yourself.
So the night falls on Sunday the 18th of August. The morning of the 19th of August, Monday, dawns. As you look out the window, you can see yourself proceed. You can see that the Zeppelin is proceeding down the coast of Japan.
I will heal
Okay.
I will heal Mr. Krieg. Mr. Krieg, you get 8 points back.
Okay, almost back to full.
I'll stay in the room.
Full. Actually, it's full because I get an extra 1 point. Okay. I look totally healthy now.
As the day draws on, the Zeppelin passes over Tokyo and Yokohama and starts to descend towards the Kasumigura Naval Airship Base. There is a huge crowd of people there waiting to greet the Zeppelin. Literally hundreds of thousands of people. There's cheering, there's signs, there's a band playing.
Guys, what do you say if we follow the people that we have on the list, that we haven't ruled out?
Well, what's the plan when we get to Japan? Because last time they basically kept us in a hotel because of the press embargo.
Sorry. Given that you know that they're going to take you to a hotel, and in fact, after as the Zeppelin lands, there's ceremonies and, like, say, people cheering and stuff, and there are cars waiting. All of the passengers disembark, and you're loaded into these cars and driven up to Tokyo, to a very nice hotel. There is a first thing. It is blisteringly hot and humid here in central Japan. So hot, in fact, that you can actually make Kanbei 5 rolls.
76. Fail.
53 is a success.
96.
Did you say come by what?
Five.
Oh, I make it exactly 45.
I got 53, which is a success.
Okay.
I failed.
Okay, those of you who passed, it's hot, but you're able to deal with it. Those of you who failed, you can lose temporarily 1d3 con.
Well, jeez.
Do I get my... Sorry.
Temporarily adjusting your hit points as necessary.
Do I get my minus 5% back?
Yes.
The disorientation.
I get minus 2.
Yep.
Who did we say?
Was it one on that list? That
went mad. Was that Phillips?
It was Phillips.
Yep. Okay, so not on that list. Cool.
So as I was saying, so you know you're going to be in Tokyo for 4 days. You are not confined to the hotel. There is, however, a tour scheduled, a tour of Tokyo, personally guided by one of the government ministers, that is scheduled for tomorrow. And as you roll off towards the hotel in Tokyo, I think that's a good place to end it for today.
Okay.
Hmm. Oh. Interesting.
So let's just kill those five next time. Just take them
out. Six, I think. So,
six,
yeah.
Sorry.
Six. So yeah. Who's the one that you ran into when you were running away towards your room, Jonathan?
So I met... Rosendahl in his
room. Which is why we're right
in the room, yeah.
Tim, I am so happy we got that spell.
I say we don't rule him out yet. He could have been doing it, and you start running as soon as they appeared. So.
Yeah, but from what of what I've been told about the spell, do I think it could have been him? Based on what he was doing.
You doubt it. Yeah. You doubt it.
I'm not convinced.
And by the way, Mr. Krieg's, with my sanity the way it's going, Mr. Krieg's idea of blowing up the airship is sounding like to be more and more of a good one. That's the only problem with the heal spell. I've got a 16 sand.
Wait, does that take away your sanity each time?
One sand point per shot.
Oh,
so you're down to what now?
16.
Okay. Yeah, that's not so good.
Becoming slightly more and more unstable.
So you only need to lose, what, 4 points, and that's 20%? Is that right?
That's a quarter, so four points.
Yeah. I think 3 would be just under, so, yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, 4 points would do it.
Okay, yes, great.
Good stuff, guys.
All right, see you guys next
week.
So you can send me the audio, Jonathan, when you get a chance?
Yes, I will put it on Dropbox after this.
Cool, thank you, sir.
Okay.
All right.
Have a good week, guys. Talk to you later.
You too.
Bye.
You too, guys.
Bye.